You're with Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner. The expression, my biological clock is ticking, is often associated with women, but new research underscores just how much that applies to men. This study comes out of the Colorado Center for Reproductive Medicine, and it's the first of its kind to follow males from puberty through middle age and beyond. Males, in this case, were mice, which can actually tell us a lot about people. Mandy Katz Jaff sat down with us before presenting this paper today at a conference in Florida. Thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thank you so much for having me here.
What have you discovered about the sperm of middle-aged men?
What we've actually discovered is that as men age, in particular as they enter into midlife, that we see a deterioration in their reproductive capacity of the sperm itself in regards to how long it takes for them to actually establish a pregnancy in their female partner, as well as the quality of that pregnancy in regards to if there will be a viable, healthy fetus or if we see a spontaneous pregnancy loss.
And it's not a question of sperm count, but of the power or efficiency of sperm. Is that right?
Exactly, exactly. So what we see is that the actual count, the concentration as we call it, and the motility, so how they swim, is not impacted actually with aging. And it's interesting because they're the parameters that we typically look for when we actually diagnose male factor infertility. So what we see is that those parameters aren't impacted, but it's the actual reproductive part, in the sense the capacity of the sperm to fertilize the egg and to establish a pregnancy and then for it to be viable. So in other words, that you'll end up with a baby later on down the track that's healthy.
We should say that the research you did was on mice, not men.
That's correct. We actually did this research in a mouse model. For starters, we couldn't do it in the human because it would take 60 years.
You'd have to wait for that person to reach middle age.
That's right. And also, certainly for us, on a reproductive physiological level, the mouse is a good model to the human.
So you basically were looking at middle-aged mice.
We actually took them from pubescent to middle age and actually watched their reproductive potential every single month as they aged. And so we were able to prove that they were fertile when they were pubescent, prove that they were fertile in their early adult life, and then we saw this dramatic deterioration in their potential for fertility when they reached middle age, which is approximately, if you want to compare to the human, in the 40s.
In the 40s?
That's correct.
Okay. Early 40s? Mid?
What are we? So, yeah, that's basically what we're talking about is around the early 40s is okay. That we started to see this dramatic deterioration in what we call reproductive potential.
And when you say dramatic deterioration, can you put a number on that? Half as fertile? You know, what is it?
So when we were looking at their capacity to actually reproduce, we in the study, we used young females throughout the course of the study.
So that you knew the female partner was pretty likely
that is
to
exactly
be fertile herself.
Correct. That is exactly right. So we could really eliminate what we call the egg factor. So any influence from an aging egg is completely eliminated. And what we found is that each of these males was able to establish pregnancies with these younger females up until this midlife point. And then only 50% of them in their 40s equivalent were able to actually then establish pregnancies. But then when we went into the 50s decade, only one actually was able to establish a pregnancy.
And how many mice altogether?
We started off with 10 males,
okay.
Pubescent males, so 10%.
Now, what you said there tells us about natural conception. Did you look into in vitro fertilization as well?
Absolutely. That was one of our key findings, is to look at the aging sperm in vitro in our laboratory. And what we found is a severe deterioration of the capacity of the sperm to fertilize eggs, as well as the quality of the embryos that were created. And then once these embryos were actually transferred into what we call a recipient female into her uterus, we also found that there was a dramatic increase in the number of spontaneous pregnancy losses. And when I say dramatic, it went from zero, so we had none when the males were young, to 61% when they were in their middle age.
Now, what would men do with this information?
It can help them to make informed decisions when they're younger. We certainly see that these males were absolutely fertile in their younger years, and it gives the capacity for human males to actually turn around in their 30s and say, well, you know, I'm focused on my career and I haven't found the woman of my dreams yet. And now's the time that I can, you know, cryopreserve or freeze my sperm when it is fertile. And then later on in life, when I do want to actually conceive, if I am not successful naturally, I can go down the path of infertility treatment and hopefully be successful.
How long can sperm be cryo-frozen?
That's a good question. It's certainly a long time. You know, we certainly have been freezing sperm for several decades now, and we're very good at it. You know, the field is very good at freezing sperm.
And your point isn't that it's automatic that you'd use it, but if down the line you have troubles, you then have made it available because you were thinking ahead.
Exactly. It's an insurance policy. I mean, we take insurance policies out for all different things in our lives, and that men can consider the possibility that they would freeze their sperm as an insurance policy if they need it later on in order to conceive and have a family. And, you know, that's very important, because without the knowledge of this work, then they can't make that decision.
Now, your study did not look at this, but it feels like relevant information to the subject, and that is, if there is an older father, is there also an increased likelihood for birth defects, for example?
Yes, absolutely. Just like in the human observational studies that are coming out showing that, there have been mouse studies to show exactly the same, that there's an increase in birth defects, and there's also a decrease in the lifespan of the offspring.
And that would be another factor to consider at the age of, say, 30, if you are going to freeze your sperm.
Absolutely.
For a later fatherhood.
Absolutely. I mean, all these factors contribute to making that decision earlier on when you are fertile and your sperm has a greater capacity to not just reproduce, but actually reproduce a healthy offspring.
Is there a chance, Mandy, that this was being blamed on the woman, that lacking a full understanding of the sperm meant blame was shifted?
That's an interesting question. I think that there's a lot of variables that point to why it's taken us so long to really understand the impact of aging in men. And certainly there's a more dramatic deterioration of female reproductive physiology in her 40s than we see in males.
Well, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to be here.
Mandy Katz-Jaff is research director at the Colorado Center for Reproductive Medicine. She's presenting her findings on male fertility in middle age today at the annual meeting of the American Society for Reproductive Medicine in Orlando.